This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You can find him on Twitter at Right or Wrong FAN. Daryl, good morning.
Good morning. Long time no talk, gentlemen.
Well, it's been an interesting day. It's been a very interesting day. You were over in Berea. You were one of the folks who grilled John Dorsey about this move to bring in Kareem Hunt. Daryl, what'd you think?
Well, it's a business decision. The ends justify the means. Winning is the only thing that really matters to John Dorsey. Morals be damned. And so Kareem Hunt is a Cleveland Brown, and I guess we'll have to sit back and wait and see if it's all worth it.
Daryl's joining us on the hotline. So you were there yesterday, and first of all, I guess, I don't know if I should say kudos to Dorsey for at least facing the music immediately. I know there would have been some managers in this town, some executives in the past who would have let some time expire before this. He faced the heat right away. He knew he was going to do that. Overall, when you got a chance to talk to him, and maybe if there were some off-the-record stuff, how do you think he took some of the backlash, or do you think he's prepared for some of the backlash?
No, he's prepared for it, and I don't think he's bothered by it, quite frankly. You know, it is what it is. I'll give them credit. They realized that a statement just was not going to be sufficient with this signing. He was very generous with his time with us everyday writers that cover the team before he came downstairs in front of the cameras and microphones and spoke for a second time. So from that standpoint, much appreciate that, but this is strictly, from my standpoint and view and evaluation of it, winning is the only thing that matters. And if any Browns fan that had any doubt that that's all John Dorsey cares about is winning, well, he pretty much gave you evidence yesterday that, yes, in fact, that's what ultimately matters to him is winning football games.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to ask Daryl because, you know, we've seen – a little bit from D. Haslam, although we've heard most recently from Jimmy Haslam. And D. Was appointed by Roger Goodell to appear on this new league conduct committee comprised of all sorts of representatives of the NFL ownership, and they review all the policy. And so obviously D. Haslam being on that board, I mean, she probably knows a lot about this situation because Kareem Hunt's on the exempt list or the commissioner's exempt list and is ineligible as of today to play. How do you think that all goes down with that conversation between D. Haslam and John Dorsey? Do you think she was willing to accept this with no stipulations, or do you think it had to do with a zero tolerance policy? How do you think that all went down?
I'm not going to speculate it on, Anthony. We did ask Dorsey for some specifics. I did as well in regards to D. Haslam being an owner of the Cleveland Browns and a woman. Dorsey declined to provide any details of their conversations because they were private conversations. They were organizational conversations. The cold hard math, the bottom line, D. Haslam signed off on the signing of Kareem Hunt.
Daryl Ryder joining us on the show. Why did they do the availability out in the lobby? Why didn't they just go to the normal place?
Well, because in the media room there is and actually it made sense, and I don't know that I wasn't told this, I don't know, but it certainly makes sense. If you look at the video from yesterday, there is no sponsor on the banner behind John Dorsey when he took questions on the matter, whereas in the media room there are sponsors on the banner. So I don't know if that was some of the thinking behind it, but I do think that was probably a smart decision to put Dorsey in front of a backdrop that did not include a team sponsor.
All right. This makes sense because there were some people going, man, this feels like Jimmy at the end of the season when he fired somebody and you'd be up against the wall. And it always seemed like he was trying to explain something that he couldn't get out of. My God. So I was wondering about the optics there. Daryl Ryder joining us on the show. So for this and what it's out there, I think that there's got to be a difference in there's no deserves a second chance. But what you're pointing out, I think, is the truth, and it does seem to be tough for a lot of people to understand that the league is based on winning. The NFL is eventually going to allow him to play, and then the question becomes, will people still be angry if he's scoring touchdowns for their favorite football team. And I think you look across the league, there are guys here with similar circumstances, and it's been proven time and time again that, no, they won't be angry, that they will still be fans of their favorite football team, as sad as that may be to some people, Daryl.
Well, yeah, well, judging by my Twitter mentions yesterday and this morning, nobody cares that Kareem Hunt hit a woman, so, or kicked a woman, and was caught on video doing it. They're happy that he's a Cleveland Brown, and I'm sure that they will be buying his jersey when it's available in the team shop. And I can tell you, in the time that we spoke to John Dorsey yesterday, that the ticket bell was ringing strong. Business is good over in Brea, Ohio. So football fans don't really care about what their players apparently do off the field as long as they're not kneeling for the national anthem. So, you know, so like I said, people don't seem to be all that bothered by the fact that the Cleveland Browns signed a player that was caught on video hitting and kicking a woman. NFL fans don't care that players beat women. What they care about is that they help their teams win games and score points and rack up yards. And again, as long as you're not kneeling for the national anthem, everything goes. That is the message that continues to be sent, not just by the Cleveland Browns, but it continues to be sent throughout the National Football League. Colin Kaepernick can't get a job in the league. The guy has a more than 2-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio, 60% career completion percentage. That guy can't get a job because he's protesting over social injustice and police brutality, which is very real. It's a very real topic. That guy can't get a job. But players like Kareem Hunt, no problem getting a job. His suspension hasn't even been handed down by the National Football League, and he's already employed again. And look at some of the white quarterbacks that continue to get jobs in the National Football League. But Colin Kaepernick can't get one at all. Teams won't touch him because he's bad for business, because the paying customers won't support the team if they sign Colin Kaepernick. So that tells you how morally bankrupt we are as a society. It tells you the perversion of sports in society today, that certain behaviors are acceptable, and, you know, social protest, well, bad for business, so you're not worthy to be employed.
Well, Daryl, ironically, I do think, and by the way, there was a backlash, and you're right, some fans did stay away over the Kaepernick stuff and the fact that other NFL players around the league decided to start exercising, you know, similar protocols. With all that said, if he would have been picked up, yeah, there would have been a protest, but if he would have played well, I think fans would cheer him just like they would Jim Brown, just like they would cheer Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, well, here's Kaepernick's stats from 2016, because all I hear about is how terrible he is, okay, and what a terrible player he is, and that's why he can't be in the league. 59% completion percentage, 2,200 yards in 12 games, touchdown to interceptions, I'm looking right now, 16-4. His career touchdown to interceptions is 72-30. His quarterback rating was a 90.7. Career quarterback rating is 88.9. Colin Kaepernick is not a good enough player to be in the National Football League. But again, players that beat and abuse women are perfectly suitable for employment.
All right, Dale, understood where you're at on that. Dale Ryder, our Browns beat reporter. What are the positives and or the pitfalls to bringing Kareem Hunt back to Cleveland?
Well, the pitfalls is all the trouble that he's allegedly been accused of getting in have all occurred here in Cleveland. So this is the worst place for him to play football, in my opinion. There are 30 other teams in the league that could have signed him, and I believe in second chances. I'm rooting for Kareem Hunt as a man. I hope that the counseling he's receiving right now is able to help him with whatever he has dealt with or is dealing with as a man. I hope it works. I really do. I sincerely mean that. But I think that this is a dangerous place for him to be, because this is where he's gotten in trouble. The Kansas City Chiefs wanted him to move full-time to Kansas City because he kept getting in trouble in Cleveland, Ohio, where he's from. So I think that that's the danger. The positives, he can help you win games. He's an explosive player. There's no question about it. There's some football decisions that have to be made going forward as far as once he is eligible to play, who gets what carries and when and what situations in that. He's a dynamic player. There's absolutely no question about it. Led the league in rushing as a rookie. You're talking about a guy that's got nearly 3,000 scrimmage yards in just 27 games, a ton of touchdowns, puts points on the board. He's an electrifying player. So there are a lot of positives to this signing as well. But, it's going to be very interesting as we go through this situation. And I wrote it last night. You know, remember last year the Browns had three qualified running backs. They ultimately moved one, Carlos Hyde, to make way for another. I'll be very interested to see how the, Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, and Duke Johnson backfield, how that whole situation plays itself out.
Darryl Ryder joining us on the show. Well, let's go to that backfield and talk about Nick Chubb and Duke Johnson. Lima asked this question at the beginning of the show. How could Nick Chubb feel about this morning? Because that's going to cut into some yards and certainly cut into his paycheck in the future.
Yeah, well, it's a one-year deal. And how this – basically the Cleveland Browns control his rights for 2 years with this signing, Ken. He can be a restricted free agent next offseason if he accrues a full season, which means he has to be on the active 53-man roster for 6 games. Remember Josh Gordon last year, 5 games, was not – in 2017, was back for 5 games, not eligible for that coveted accrued season. So if he doesn't get the accrued season, I'm pretty sure he becomes an exclusive rights free agent next offseason, which still means the Browns control his rights. So – Kareem has 2 years, really, to get everything back on track in his personal life. And as John Dorsey talked about yesterday, earn that trust, prove to everybody that he is not the guy that was seen on videotape. He's not the guy that's been involved in a couple of these other incidents that the NFL is also investigating. So time will tell if, in fact, he is able to really get his life on the right path and return to the dynamic player that we saw with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Darryl Ryder joining us on the hotline. Some strong sentiments so far today on Kareem Rush and the Browns' decision to bring him in and sign him. I know John Dorsey said that they investigated, the Browns did, they investigated what went on with Kareem Hunt. But did he speak to the two other incidents? Because I think a lot of people are forgetting today that the NFL is reviewing not just that incident that we have seen video of and that he says he's remorseful of. He had never talked about those incidents independently. I'm talking about Kareem Hunt independently, right, of the one issue that happened at the 9. So do they feel that he is guilt-free with those other two incidents? Are they waiting on the NFL on that? Does John Dorsey want to talk to people about those incidents?
Well, Dorsey said that they investigated the totality of Kareem Hunt's background. And based on his relationship with Kareem, which dates back to 2016, when Dorsey was scouting and obviously preparing to use a third-round pick on him in the 2017 NFL draft, that they are comfortable with the information they had. It should also be noted, John Dorsey did not speak to the victims in these cases, and he declined to clarify if he spoke to other parties that were involved in these incidents as well, because especially the one on video, obviously, there were a lot of people there and involved, but Dorsey declined to say whether or not their investigation included that. I don't know, though, how you can conduct an investigation and say that you've conducted a thorough investigation without actually speaking to the victim involved. And I can't say either way because he wouldn't say, but hopefully he did speak to people that were present as these incidents unfolded.
Darryl, I'm very curious about whether or not this team, this organization right now with all the positive momentum, but still the youngest team in football and now the most inexperienced coach in the NFL, if they're ready to handle something like this and to handle what could happen in terms of distractions, national media descending on Berea, how do you think John Dorsey and, more importantly, the Haslams feel this team is ready to handle another situation like this in which we've had Manziel, we've had Josh Gordon, and now here we go again?
Well, yeah, I mean, Dorsey believes that, as he put it, the locker room is a microcosm of society. And he, as he talked about yesterday, he believes in second chances. They obviously feel like they can handle this. They just got done with the Josh Gordon circus. They then previously got done with the Johnny Manziel circus. This is another issue that they've just brought upon themselves that they are going to have, you know, they're going to have to deal with this, you know, and the bad press, because this isn't the end of it. You know, when he gets suspended or whatever punishment is handed down by the NFL, that it gets dredged up again. When he speaks for the first time to reporters, it gets dredged up again. When he plays his first game, it'll get dredged. Like, this is now a never-ending storyline for the Cleveland Browns to deal with. And so they have experience dealing with problem children since 1999 because they've had a ton of them. I would say, yeah, Anthony, obviously they feel like they're strong enough as an organization that they certainly can deal with what little backlash they might get for this. And that they'll be able to put whatever they need to in place to, I guess, you know, help Kareem Hunt achieve success both personally as professionally.
Darryl, we thank you very much for the time. All the very best. We'll talk to you again soon.
You got it.
Darryl Ryder joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
What did you think, Ken, when he brought up the Colin Kaepernick situation?
I think you had a point.
I've stopped talking about Colin Kaepernick.
I think there's part of it where it is separate issues, but I think that he did have a point.
I don't even know if Colin Kaepernick...
It's always going to be brought up.
I don't even know if Colin Kaepernick wants to play football anymore. I think part of this was a stance that he took.
Well, Jim Brown said it himself to Colin Kaepernick and was open about that and said you can either be an athlete or an activist in 2018. You can't do both. And he's decided he's going to be an activist.
But
we bring it up. It's been 2 years.
I do agree with Darryl that the amount of phone reaction that we got when we talked Kaepernick for almost a full week, and then another week, and then another week, the reaction we got from fans who were livid and said they would not root for the Browns again. They would not cheer if the Browns brought him in. And I'm not hearing that today. So there is a difference. I think what Darryl is saying is spot on. I think there is a difference. I'm not hearing the backlash, yet we did hear it for Colin Kaepernick. And I think that is a window into, to me, some of the inconsistencies and some of the hypocrisy. It does surprise me that I'm not hearing more backlash today.
216-578-0092. We'll get to those calls next. It's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lama live on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.